This is CliffCentral.com.
What would Cape Town be without its mountains? Imagine going for a swim in Camps Bay, and after raising your head out of the chilly water, Table Mountain was gone. Mountains tower symbolically through all regions as well as throughout many cultures. From the base to the peak, mountains not only serve mythical value, but real sustaining value. From the water that flows from it to give life to a community's harvest to being the home for dedicated meditating monks. We've all referenced mountains symbolically and linked them to our highest aspirations as well as our steepest obstacles. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show, the show exploring the link between brain power and brand influence. Today we explore the mind-altering power and potential of mountains. I catch up with a dynamic young professional who climbed Mount Everest to raise money for a charity. In a moment, Mosidi Modisi, an analyst at Allen Gray, will share with us what climbing taught her about building her personal brand and what she thinks it can teach you and me. There are mountains which still haven't been climbed. Mount Kailash in China is one such mountain, largely due to the fact that the idea of climbing the mountain is seen as sacrilegious. Instead, people embark on a spiritual trek around the mountain known as the Kora. The Kora consists of a 32-mile path that circles the mountain, which typically takes 5 days. Various prayer symbols and other signage line the path to mark the way. For Buddhists and Hindus, the pilgrimage is considered a major moment in a person's spiritual life. Olson writes, "One circuit is believed to erase a lifetime of sin, while 108 circuits is believed to ensure enlightenment." Mountain peaks are often seen as a site to receive revelation. Muhammad is said to have received his first revelation on Mount Hira. Mount Tabor is where it is said Jesus revealed to be the Son of God. Many cultures wrap their entire identity around their regional mountains. The Taranaki, people of New Zealand, center their life around their sacred mountain of the same name. They place the mountain in the center of a love story, where the mountain succeeded in battle, overcoming defeat, finding love in a volcano, and this essence lives and is channeled in their tribesmen. Many Koreans worship female mountain spirits, which become home for those women seeking fertility. Mount Olympus is the highest mountain peak in Greece, once regarded as the home of the Greek gods. This brings us to Mount Everest, Earth's highest mountain above sea level. Standing at 8,848 meters or 29,029 feet, located in the Mahalangur section of the Himalayas, the summit straddles the border separating China and Nepal. As A.P. Abdul Kalam wrote, "Climbing to the top demands strength, whether it is the top of Mount Everest or the top of your career." Which is why I caught up with Mosidi. Enjoy. Why did you decide to climb mountains?
So for me, I decided to go on a somewhat more conscious path. So wanting to be a little bit more awake around what's happening around me and wanting to experience life from a deeper level. This all started as a journey, I think, late last year, quarter four last year. And so when my friend Natasha told me about this opportunity to go and climb Base Camp Everest for Cammy's charity, I thought, wow, this is just exactly what I needed. Because when Cammy was telling me about her experience climbing mountains for the past couple of years, how it helped her to kind of resolve a lot of unearthed circumstances, and how being in that environment gave a perspective, I was like, that's exactly what I need.
But most people don't start with Mount Everest. They start with like a hill in Cape Town or Kilimanjaro. Why Mount Everest?
Because I'm a yes person. So I like saying yes to anything that seems crazy and adventurous. And yeah, I didn't even think, put it into the perspective of you first have to climb Kili before you climb Everest. And I figured that it's actually a process-driven experience. So you don't all of a sudden find yourself from day one to day two on the top of the mountain. So it's so manageable.
When you started, did you think it would help you across so many different areas of your life?
No, actually, no. And like, you know, till today, there's always something new that always drops around, like climbing the mountain. Like the big takeaway, I think 3 or 4 days afterwards, after we finished the trek to Everest, was I realized how small we are in the midst of these big giant mountains that are very unique to the Himalayas. So one of the big things that I would think about and meditate on every day is just how the smallness that we are in the bigger, greater scheme of things, and how oftentimes the things we make a big issue of are smaller than we think they are. And then the other one that came was around that success in life sometimes is about going slow. So the secret to success is going slow and not going fast. And climbing a mountain that big teaches you that, because if you were to go any faster than the prescribed altitude gains you were to make every day, you would get sick from altitude sickness. So it was a big epiphany around, okay, so if success is about going slow, climbing mountains, where is that applicable as well? And it's applicable in almost any endeavor you want to have in life.
Because so you think people are having career altitude sickness nowadays? People are trying too hard, too fast?
You've hit it on the nail. It's like life altitude sickness, where in the age of the advent of social media and being exposed to people's, you know, paces and cadences, you kind of like suffer from anxiety and want everything to happen now. And we are exacerbating immediate gratification at the expense of quality, because time breeds quality and creativity as well.
Yeah.
And I undermine the essence of what that can do.
So the contrast between sort of the minute things we go through and the vastness of the mountain, it becomes kind of a metaphor from the vastness of your goals and your challenges versus the small things. What is one of the big things that this kind of experience helped you see in correct proportion?
Go slow and take time to take everything in. So we had three guides. We had this amazing man whose duty was to stay with the slowest person in the group.
And was that you?
And I made the decision to be that slowest person in the group, even though I knew I could be in the middle or in the front, because I knew that in order to enjoy it, anybody that's done a high altitude climb, they always said, as fit as you are, try to be the last person in the group. And for me, it gave me an opportunity to know Gopal really, really well, better than other people in the group. And also just, yeah, take time to just like find comfort in being the last one standing and not be ashamed of it, because my main objective was to enjoy it. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised around how much easier this process was getting to base camp. Like, it was much easier than I expected. Though challenging, it was easier than I expected, because I just paced myself. Like,
wow.
Where, you know, you could easily walk the journey within 40 minutes, I think an hour.
So you go with this?
This was in May 2018.
So you've had close to 6 months of civilian professional life since coming back.
Yes.
Has it made you a better professional?
Yes, it's made me a lot more fearless. So one of the other things as well, the great epiphanies about climbing the mountain was things we give fear a life it doesn't have. And now I'm a lot more fearless about things. So Cammy warned us, is like, this experience, just be warned that this experience is going to be life-changing in the way in which there'll be things that shift in your life, but careful not to make too many shifts or drastic major decisions as soon as possible. Take time to just like make one decision after another, because her purpose of climbing mountains, like she's done Kilimanjaro, she did Everest base camp the year before, was to try and find a thinking space where she can just put, you know, things that may be broken into life into perspective, and wanted to give us the opportunity to do so, although it was for a very meaningful cause, which is like, you know, fighting for the plight of burn survivors. It's also for you as well to just take time to get perspective. Like those days when it's a lot tougher to wake up, you know, in -4 degrees weather and to start walking in snow and in rocky mountains and in hills, you just like, just take time to just meditate over that and just tell yourself that it's mind over matter. It's mind over matter.
And how did you decide to choose this specific cause?
So it was primarily driven by Cammy, but I also was, I felt quite passionate towards it. And we actually had a burn survivor come with us, William, whose family's house was petrol bombed during the apartheid era. So he has for about 40 years been living with like severe burns. So he doesn't have fingers. His hands are just stubs and his face is relatively deformed. So it was also quite an eye-opener walking down this trek with him, because you have people coming back from base camp as you walk in towards it. And everybody you meet says namaste, as it's there's a lot of Buddhist people there. And namaste, the essence of namaste is the light in you sees the light in me. But there were a lot of people who'd like cower in a corner and stare at him and start talking quite negatively. Like their body language was not forthcoming. There was nothing, there was no light coming around seeing somebody like William walk past them, because they've never seen someone like him before with such severe burns. So it gave me an appreciation around the fact that I myself don't have to, you know, succumb those challenges to every day, where I have to just defend myself and rise above what people have to say about the way I look, as they do with William. And the fact that he doesn't have fingers, he cannot open a can of Coke or hold a handful of nuts in his hands. So taking appreciation for those things that were never at the surface of my consciousness around what other people have to experience.
Do you see yourself differently now?
Yes.
What are some of the fundamental shifts in terms of how you see yourself? I've known you for a while as a serious professional. I've watched you get award after award before this.
Mm.
What's different now?
I have a passion for mountains and have a special relationship with them. Like living in Cape Town, I used to be a casual hiker, but now when I go hiking, it's become a meditative space. Like I love going up a mountain and just taking time to take everything around me and reflect. So I'm a lot more mindful and reflective as a person, and find comfort in mountains to do that. And I'm a lot more fearless, where I'm thinking about doing a lot of things that I wouldn't have had the courage to do before. I now do, because it's like, if you can do that,
but like what? Like what is something you've done that you've gotten back that you may not have done before?
Thinking about like, is Cape Town, should I be in Cape Town or should I dream a bit and go global? Or,
I see.
Yeah, going global now.
Well, you would have shut those thoughts off before.
Because
it's safe,
it's comforting, it's an easy thing to do. Because I remember this one day when Gopal told us, you're going to be walking about 1,000, I'm acclimating to about 1,700 meters and going up these massive suspension bridges that you commonly see like on videos about getting to base camp. And I remember I had this shot with my friend Natasha, and behind us is these suspension bridges, and we not only have to like walk in order to get to the other side, we have to walk up there. And I was just like, this is just seemingly impossible. But he's like, just remember, just go slow, you know, take your time getting there. And don't worry, we'll have breaks in between. So to everything in life, there is an end to it, but pace yourself and allow yourself the time and the patience to do so. So I hope also I can become a lot more patient as a person, because the mountain certainly does teach you that. Like it's a quality experience that I hope everybody that can be afforded the opportunity to, or somebody suggests. Because for me, it was just a suggestion. Natasha asked about 5 friends, and I'm that one that said yes. So if anybody
out
there...
You're the only one who said yes?
Well, yeah, one of her few friends that said yes. So if anybody can ever be afforded an opportunity to do something that's seemingly impossible, say yes to it.
So the first step is saying yes.
Yes.
So starting to get from this mountain climbing journey.
Yes.
Your first step was to say yes to it.
Correct.
And then getting to the top.
Yes.
I'm interested in coming back down.
Yes.
What was it like once you're there and you reached your goal of where you wanted to be, coming back down, How was that experience? Was it anticlimactic? Was it spiritual? What was it like coming back?
Quite anticlimactic, to be honest, because it was flipping cold, especially as you get towards base camp. Then base camp, where the guy, maybe it was a guy or a girl, it was somebody who had passed on, and there was a sign in memory of this person, and it says, if you keep that Winston Churchill quote, if you're going through hell, keep going. And I said, back in my mind, that like was the one thing that gripped down the whole experience of being at base camp. And it's just the word that stuck up was resilience. And I still have that sign at the back. I actually want to frame the picture and keep it somewhere and just always understand the significance of it, that when there's trials, situations in life, just remember where that sign was pitched and how long it took you to get there to see it, because not everybody makes it up base camp. Altitude sickness is can be quite prevalent amongst many people, and it kind of hinders your ability to get to the very top. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. When it comes to, my last question is this, when it comes to your goals, anyone's goals in terms of their personal brand goals, if they see this as summiting a mountain with your personal brand journey, what are a couple tips? You've really given us some beautiful insight about your journey. But what are a couple tips you would say to anyone who's trying to climb one of the highest personal brand mountains of their life? What would you say to them?
I would say, do it not for the ego, do it for the mind. Because we got an opportunity to sit with one of the Sherpas that went on the first climb up to Everest. Kancha Sherpa is his name. So he went with Sir Edmund Hillary to do the very first ascent up to the peak. And when he tells his story, the essence of the humility that was in Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzin Norgay, so the two very famous guys we commonly see around that. But he was part of the bigger picture. Like, being a Sherpa is one of the biggest responsibilities. Like, we oftentimes see the people that are at the very peak, but behind that is a team of very humble, very skilled mountaineers who, because they live in the area, they can to them it's nothing going up, but it's a very skillful thing. It's like do it for the mind and not for the ego. So even if you have aspirations to one day be the first to ever to summit Everest and or any of these big mountains, do it for your mind and do it for your soul. Don't do it for your ego.
Even if you want to be CEO or whatever you want to be, do it for the journey and the love of
what it's going to. And use it to be of service to others.
That's amazing.
Because for us, the main aim was to raise funds for this charity. So it made getting to base camp even more meaningful. But then you carry with you so much compassion and love and appreciation for burn survivors. Like, Camus has this message that when you see somebody with a burn or anything, smile at them, because you understand their journey better and embrace their uniqueness. And don't make it as though it's something that they should be ashamed about, because that scar goes deeper than what you see at face value. And I would say as well, like, women should it's a nice metaphor for women as well. Like, we should break these ceilings that tend to exist within our workplaces. Like, most pictures of mountaineers are of these, like, you know, beard-headed white men. There aren't enough women of color taking opportunities to go and climb big mountains.
Thanks so much, Masidi, for your climbing courage, and I hope you continue to summit many career peaks. Whatever your career mountains are, as Masidi said, know that pace matters. Run your own race at your own pace. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe, rate the show. We'll be back next week with the next episode of the Brain and Brand Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.